The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
The BVU Beavercast is proudly supported by alum and two-time All-American Monty Mers and High Country Search. Elevate your search at highcountrysearch.com.
Welcome to the Lodge. It's time to settle in for the Buena Vista Wrestling Beavercast. Join host Jason Bryant and head wrestling coach Jeff Brees as we talk all things BV wrestling. Now, on to the show.
So 35, the BV Wrestling Beavercast here in somewhat enemy territory. If you're a Division III wrestling fan at Augsburg University now at the Augie Adidas Open, Coach Brees, rough day, but some things you can be proud of in terms of guys fighting back and having the opportunity to at least get some mat time here in the early going of this part of the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say that rough of a day. We got six guys coming home as placers. You know, with the format here, if you lose a tough first match, you can't really place top eight, but we had three guys losing the first round and come all the way back and wrestle in the Consi Championship match. One was injured, so he medically forfeited out, and then we lost, we just lost on a ride time point in the other match. So both, or all three really close matches, really good job of those guys to fight back. And then, two freshmen in the silver bracket that both stayed on the front side, both finished top six, both beat some really, really good guys, albeit freshmen, but, you know, it's good when kids come in. Did you, Coach, you know that kid won two state titles? Yeah, it was a good win. Good job. So, you know, that was good. Got to get a little bit better at 157. The bar's a little bit higher there, maybe. You know, a guy that's trying to break through to get to nationals and is a junior needs to stop losing matches in the same way. You know, he wrestles hard. We're always going to get that from Brad. But, you know, we don't need to be in 22, 21 matches. We need to stop the guy every now and then, too. Not every match needs to be a shootout. Not every match needs to come down to a last-second takedown. He's better than that, but hasn't really done that yet. Now, he's lost to two really good guys both of the first two weekends. You know, most of his losses this year are D2 guys. He's lost four matches. Three of them are to D2 guys, and one he avenged today in the craziest match I've ever seen. So, he's doing all right, but, you know, he got one of the guys that, you know, at least win-wise is supposed to be a team leader. He's got to be better. So not a bad day. Really pretty good overall. Just, you know, bar's got to be a little bit higher.
Yeah, the match you alluded to is actually one I stepped in. I walked in. I was like, okay, there's Coach Bald Eagle over there. Let me go over. And then I look down, and he's up big. Then he gets thrown to his back. He takes a couple of bad shots, really unnecessarily bad shots. And then all of a sudden, it's the one late. Catches the ankles, 22-21, no cautions, no stall warnings. You said it was the craziest match you've ever seen, and that's saying something because you've been around the block quite a few times.
Yeah, by far the craziest folk style match I've ever seen. The only thing that rivals it was last year at the Pete Wilson tournament. There was, I will not remember the Messiah kid's name, but there may have been more points scored than that, but it was a tilt fest, roll around, points back and forth. This today was just one guy would get a takedown, then the other guy would get a takedown. Then one guy would get a takedown, the other guy would get a takedown. And one guy would get six, and then the other guy would get six. I've never seen that many takedowns in a match. Like, there were only a couple sets of back points in a 22-21 match.
With the way this format is, if this tournament's set up, there's typically three divisions. The gold is your more seasoned athletes, then your silver and your bronze for your first-year guys or somebody that, you know, you're a real developmental type of athlete. So what is it about the format here that makes you come back every year?
It really gives us a chance to let some of our younger guys get a chance to be in the fight and see some probably a little bit more D3 schools than we would at some of the other places that we go early in the season. So win or lose, they get a chance to be a little bit more competitive. You know, we had some guys lose some tight 4-2 matches, 4-3 matches that they realize they can wrestle at the college level now, where, you know, a week ago when we were at Luther, great event, but we were losing to some Iowa guys. We were losing to some, you know, we're losing to some top tier D2 guys. And that was our day. Go D1, D2 done. Don't even know if you're good enough to wrestle at the D3 level yet, because you haven't seen a D3 guy yet. So a little bit, you know, a little bit better as far as that goes. Match count is nice here too. You're not going to run into any match count issues. You know you're going to get through and be able to wrestle all the way back through your bracket, whether you're on front side or back side, no matter what, without running into a match issue, the new 6-match limit. So that's a nice thing. We actually kind of, with our open, mirror this in a lot of ways. There's a lot of forfeits and that type of thing that happened in the last couple of rounds anyway. So if you can cut a round out in the middle of the day, this early in the season, coaches usually aren't too upset. They're not, they don't get too caught up in who took fourth or fifth or sixth at, you know, an early season opener invite. They're looking to see who's scoring points and who's doing the right things and what they can fix. You know, this probably isn't going to get anybody seated at nationals today. So
when you look at the teams, the makeup here, you know, just a couple of years ago, you see Platteville, you see Eau Claire, you know, say, okay, yeah, okay, well, we can get some wins there. But now those programs are improving. Of course, Augsburg's got most of their hammers here for at least for the first semester. And then you've got Minnesota State bringing up a pretty good group of teams, a good mix of that D2, D3. But as you're saying, you're not running into your Iowa backups or your Wisconsin backups, your Minnesota backups. You're running into guys that are mostly at the Division III level. From a coaching perspective, to find out how good they are, yeah, you want to challenge yourself by, you know, beating, you know, the D1 guys to prove that they can be there. But at the same point, where do you tell your guys that this is the level we're at, we need to wrestle here? I mean, how do you balance the fact that to get better versus to get better within your division?
I don't talk about it a lot. I mean, I think I even sent out a tweet like pointing out that we lost the two D2 guys. When I get back on Monday, I don't really care that we lost the two D2 guys. We lost because we didn't do things right. It wasn't because those guys were D1, D2. But when you haven't wrestled a college match yet, or you're within your first 3, 4, 5 college matches, you'd like to wrestle guys that came to the same division you did. You'd like that. Because you don't, no matter how good you are, you, I think almost every guy has that little sneaking suspicion, like, am I good enough? Can I do this yet? Am I going to be an okay college wrestler? So you want to see some guys that are in the same division as you that made kind of the same choices on the type of school and the type of thing that they want. You don't want to go wrestle a guy that's, you know, ranked third in the country, your first college match at a Big Ten school when you're a D3 guy. You know, we've had that happen in the past. He's since transferred. He's in another school. But, you know, that was one of our guys' first college matches a couple years ago. No, it was Seth Gross. Okay. We were talking about it in the hotel. We think one of our guys scored the first two takedowns in college that Seth Gross had ever given up. It did not go well after that, but I think we scored the first two takedowns that Seth Gross ever gave up.
Interesting factoid. So as this, the way the calendar sets, Thanksgiving, November's, you know, a longer month. I mean, it's always the same amount, but you're coming into Thanksgiving kind of earlier in the schedule versus later in the schedule. What does this do for training? What does this do for schedule making? What's it do for guys, you know, getting off the break? Some of them first time, are they going to stay at, they going to stay at school and train through it? Or are they going to go home for a break? I mean, how does this calendar each year kind of change your training perspective?
I think we change from year to year. Kind of depends on kind of the demographic of the team. And so we are very heavy on guys from out of state this year. So we're going to take a little longer Thanksgiving break than we normally would. But we wanted to make sure we got guys in the lineup to wrestle here so that they got a good solid competition before they head home next week. We do have a duel on Tuesday. So we're going to have 10 guys going in that. And we're going to have the rest of the group taking the day off. But we wanted to make sure we got as many guys here as we could. Anybody that was healthy and we could get here, we wanted to get them here because we know we're going to take a little bit longer break for Thanksgiving than we normally would. You know, we're not taking a week off, but we're going to get, when you've been training for this long and you've been competing every weekend, if someone tells you you have 3 or 4 days off, it feels like a month. And so these guys are going to feel really good when they come back from Thanksgiving. Hopefully they have some control. You know, they eat a good dinner on Thursday and then they keep things in check so they don't have a terrible week leading into the BVU Open. But we have that nice break where we got good hard work in, especially for our freshmen. The season's already long at this point to them because it's been longer than their high school season and we're just getting rolling. So they get a nice break. They got a tournament in, they get a break, and then they get to go home and then they come back and they got a week to get ready for the BVU Open. So it fits in really, really nicely. We debate a little bit whether we like to wrestle that very first weekend or not. That's a big debate every year. But this weekend's a really great weekend to get out and compete. just it falls really nice into the calendar. We've had some time to see some things, see what we're good at, see what we're bad at, actually have some practices in, so some guys know some things. And then, you know, go do battle. And again, this format's great. I really love how the format fits. And, you know, we always seem to have some pretty good success up here.
When it comes to Thanksgiving, it's always kind of almost the curse of wrestling. We don't get to eat through Thanksgiving. We don't get to eat through Christmas. Well, as a heavyweight, I always got to, so that's not really an issue. And you as a little guy probably didn't get a whole lot of second helpings. But when you tell guys that are going back home for the first, this is mainly for the freshmen, because usually they make this mistake once, no matter what program they're at. This is usually their one mistake to make, but what do you tell them in terms of foods to eat? I mean, nutrition's a big thing in terms of, you know, managing your weight. You got to still stay hydrated, but it's the right type of hydration. You can get full, right type of food, right type of carbs. I mean, things like that. How much of this nutrition and then your, you know, the training staff and the nutritional staff are telling these kids before they go home so you're not ate over the wrong way?
Honestly, when it comes to holidays, like, we're really big on nutrition all through the year. When it comes to the holidays, it's more about trying to manage the damage, I think.
Just stay close.
Yeah, yeah. There's no reason that you need to have a sour face looking at your mom and dad and grandma and going, I can't eat. Have a nice big plate on Thanksgiving. Don't go back and have a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth plate. Don't go have two or three different kinds of pie. Have one of everything that's there. Have a really good meal. And then go back to what you've been doing. What you've been doing the 3 weeks before this has worked. You have your weight managed by now. Just go back to that. And, you know, maybe go take a run. Maybe get into your high school room. You know, you have the time off. Doesn't mean you have to necessarily be sedentary on the couch for 4 days. Those are the big things that we really push. You know, I think it really changes your mindset too. A lot of nutrition, especially when it comes to weight cutting, is how you think about it or how you can kind of trick your body and trick your mind a little bit. If you tell yourself you're not going to eat Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to accidentally snack on everything you can, and you're going to have a little cheat here and a little cheat here and a little cheat here and a little cheat here. And then all of a sudden, how am I 12 over? What just happened? Where if you just eat the one good meal, you make your family happy, you make you happy. And then you go back to what you've been doing and you stay disciplined, you're going to be in good shape, especially with a week to get things squared away when we get back. There's really no reason for guys to come back 10, 12, 15 over. No, we have a 5% rule. So for each guy, that roughly puts them somewhere between 6 and 7 pounds over. That's kind of what they live at on a daily basis. You know, we're probably going to come back just a little bit over that coming out of break, but not a ton, a couple pounds. Because you should have, by this point, most of our guys have kind of a regimen that they follow that keeps them within their 5% anyway. There's no reason for that to just completely disappear when they're gone for a long weekend.
What's your worst Thanksgiving weight cut story? Because, again, you were a guy that was a little guy, and then you stayed little for a while, and then college happened.
Yeah, I was good in college. I honestly was. College didn't really break me too bad. I had a couple bad Christmases with us going to the scuffle. But I mean, I honestly did a pretty good job when I was in college. It was just that freshman year going to the scuffle right out of Christmas break was tough. We probably honestly took too many days off in hindsight. It wasn't my choice to make. I wasn't the coach then. But I think we probably took a few too many days off. And I was making 25, and 25 wasn't easy to begin with. So it was tough when I got back. My high school that was usually our first weigh-in was right after Thanksgiving in PA. We didn't wrestle until right after Thanksgiving.
First weekend, December 1.
Yeah. So it was just tough period. Thanksgiving didn't need to be in there to be a stumbling block. It was my first time down to weight, no matter what. It never felt really good that first time around, but when I'm making 103, that first year in high school, my freshman year, 103 didn't feel good ever. It never felt good at any point, not state semis, not state finals, not the first day of the season. It never felt good. And the first time down was shortly after Thanksgiving. That was not fun.
Circling back to the competition here, and in terms of setting the lineup, you know, you have the intra-squad, you have other competitions going into this duel right before Thanksgiving with Northwestern, which you know, a team that NAIA program. You like to get them on the schedule. I believe it was it postponed or canceled the year before or last year, one of the two. And, you know, it's one of those duels that's not going to affect seeding. How are you setting your lineup with this tournament and the previous tournament? And how is this, you know, is this duel really a litmus test? Okay, where do we really fit as a dual meet team?
We've had a couple injuries the last couple of weeks that threw some curveballs into what we thought we were going to do with the dual meet lineup. We think we probably have lost a couple of guys for the year. So that threw a wrench into what we thought we were going to do. But we really wanted to kind of settle some things here, put some guys in the same weight class, see what they would do. And I think we have everything ironed out. We're pretty much going to go forward with what we think is going to be our dual meet lineup for at least for the first semester on Tuesday. You know, had we not had those injuries, we may have put a couple of freshmen for this duel to kind of get them that experience that maybe they won't get second semester if they're not the guy. But with those injuries and what we needed to do, I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that now. I think we're just going to go straight up with what we think are our guys. That may change second semester, but the guys that we're probably going to move forward with, at least for the three duels we have first semester, is probably who you're going to see on Tuesday night.
We've talked about this the last two shows. The dynamic of the coaching staff has changed, but it stayed the same and it's grown a little bit. Sean White went and got married, and then you added Ernesto Garcia to the staff. Now, from your perspective, you've had both, one as a married man and one as a rookie into the coaching game. How much is your life complicated or eased as a result of either the marriage or the new addition to the staff?
Well, we'll start with a new addition to the staff. My life is 1,000% easier because of Ernesto. Coach Shadow, who still helps us out quite a bit, but isn't really fully a staff member because he's taken a job in Des Moines. He wasn't an in-the-office guy. He had a full-time BVU job and helped us out with practice and training. Coach Garcia essentially is learning to be a director of operations, and he's doing a really good job of it for someone that's not even a full year out of college. So there are times now where I look around and I'm like, wow, I don't remember how we used to do this with two people, but man, this feels nice. So he's been amazing. As far as married life, it gives me so much balance. I mean, that's where it helps me the most. It helps give me perspective so I can go in and on the worst day at a tournament or the worst day of practice, I have perspective to come in and have a smile on my face going into practice the next day. I don't have a whole lot of lingering, like I'm still mad about something that probably wasn't that important midday yesterday because I've had something that either monster trucked it when I got home or I had someone that was able to kind of make me smile, think a little bit differently about it and come in with a good, fresh perspective the next day. So Zoe's awesome. She's amazing. She's really good at keeping me grounded. She's really good at telling me when I'm being dumb. And she's super supportive of what we're doing too. She doesn't miss a whole heck of a lot. If she can't travel, I'm probably spending as much time on my phone telling her what's going on as I am anybody else.
What about Coach White's new addition?
Bailey is a godsend. We love Bailey. To start with, she was able to keep Coach White in town. And Coach White does amazing work for us. When he told me he was proposing, the first thought in my head, well, first was congratulations, I'm happy for you, man. Second was, man, I hope she gets a job on this side of the state. And doesn't. And I've told them that. That's not a surprise. She got a vet job on our side of the state. I think he's going to be here long term. She's really happy with her job. They have a house about a half hour away from campus. And I think the same thing for him. It helps give a little bit of perspective on life, which really helps. It's really easy to get stuck in your little wrestling bubble and get hung up on wins and losses and whether someone finished a single leg. And it is important. Like, we're not going to not keep harping on that. And we're not going to keep pushing and doing everything we can to be better, but we don't gotta be miserable all the time about it either. You can be a happy human being and not be winning just yet. It is possible, and I'm not sure that I fully realized that until I got married.
Next steps for the program after Northwestern. We talked about Thanksgiving break. We talked about the duel. You know, semester goals. You know, dealing with injuries always kind of a, you know. Never, no year is exactly the same. So, I mean, you know, just to wrap up this episode, you know, what are we looking to going into the second semester?
Going into second semester, just really trying to put ourselves in a better position for the end of the year. We might have some guys that are going to be moving some weights. We're not sure yet. We're still trying to figure some of that stuff out, see how guys progress, see how they feel, see how their bodies adjust to things. But, you know, we want to close out first semester on a good note. We got three duels left, and we got the BVU Open. We're home two, possibly a third time. There might be a schedule change coming down that we'll, once it's official, we'll have to announce. But we're potentially home three times in the next month. So if, you know, if we can be at home, put on a good show, and continue to see those little steady improvements, we're young. We're gonna potentially have 5-6 freshmen in the lineup. That's still a possibility even on Tuesday night. So we're young. We're not supposed to rule the world with a bunch of 18-year-olds yet. But if we can keep making little incremental gains, keep getting these guys some confidence, keep having guys find ways to win matches, which is what we're starting to do. We're not always winning the way I want to win as a coach, but sometimes we're winning just because we're fighting through the positions that we used to not fight through. You know, sometimes we're pulling the rabbit out of our hat, but you know,
scoring 22 points.
Scoring 22 points, yeah. You know, those are good things. I will sit back and watch film and tell you all the bad that happened, but we're finding ways to win matches, and that's a good thing. That's something that you can't really teach people, is how to just figure it out.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.